So you mainly modeled clothes and everything like that. You didn't do a lot of ramp modeling or anything?
Ramp modeling. Oh. Ramp modeling was what I did, and they wouldn't let me tell anybody how tall I was, so I look a lot taller than I am. I'm just 5'5¾". Ramp models should be at least 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
But they always told me, maybe the way you walk, you know, I've got this long neck too. And I did a lot of ramp modeling. And I did some commercials, and I did a lot of just still photographs. You know, I did some things with jewelry. I did things for makeup. They weren't too pleased with my makeup because I was doing makeup for, they wanted me to do some things to advertise black makeup. It wasn't a black company, but they wanted me to advertise black makeup. But when it came out, they said I looked more Indian than for black makeup. So I said, well, this is not going to work. But it came out fine, though. You know, they were just kidding me when they said that. And then I have done pictures like for studios, where they wanted to advertise their studio and they want pictures in the paper, you know, in their window, you know, these black and white glossy pictures. Just it's been quite interesting. It really has. I've just met so many people. Just had a wonderful life.
It sounds fascinating because you know we have the big supermodels now. And
yeah,
all and
right, right.
Actually, knowing someone that's a model, mm-hmm. it's really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I know your family must be, you know, really supportive of you raising your kids by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, you're really active in the church and all, so that your church was supportive.
Oh, yeah.
Did they, you know, give you pats on the back, encouraging words all the time?
Mm-hmm. All the time. And they would say, you know, it won't be long. And sometimes you feel like giving up, because I think sometimes part of college is enduring to the end. And they would say, won't be long, you know, it won't be long. And we're so proud of you, and if anything I can do to help. And the people in the city of Jacksonville, you know, the mayors, the clubs, the schools, everybody would just, and they would just, oh, they brag on me. Oh, we're so proud of you, and we, you know, if there's anything I can do. And there were articles in the newspaper about me periodically. You know, they had me in there. And one said, my sons are great. You know, they had this picture of me out in my backyard. My sons are great. I don't think that there could have been anything more supportive. I've always played the piano at my church, and I never missed any of that. You know, I continue to do that. Unless I'm sick. You know, even when I had babies, I'd always, for some reason or other, be back the next Sunday.
Oh, goodness.
Have my baby in a basket or something. But they were super. I hate to keep saying very supportive. But I think what really meant more to me than anything was that people would come up and say, you know, if you can do it, I can do it. And I had several people. I had people that were a lot older than I was would come up and say, you know, if you can do it, I can do it, you know. And I was really, I felt a little reluctant when I first started. You know, here I am going to school and everybody's going to be so much younger. But when I got in school, you know, I guess it helped me to feel young because I kind of felt like them, you know. I was kind of, I get all the new styles. And my close friends were really young, you know. We didn't have time to do anything, get into any kind of devil bit or anything. We would study together. They'd come to my house. I'd stay up in the Student Commons and eat my peanut butter sandwiches. And it was funny. My oldest son was on campus before I graduated. And he never would call me, Mama. You know, I heard somebody one day just saying, Sydney. And I turned around with Marcus. I said, boy, what are you calling? He didn't want to say Mama, you know. We were all up there. And, you know, and I just kind of blended in with everything and enjoyed it. I just really enjoyed it. I didn't feel different than anything.
Why did you choose education as your field to go into? Why not something else, but why education?
Like fashion design.
Yeah,
it's hard for me because, you know, and most people don't remember, know this. My sister still remember. I used to cry every day because I hated school. My mother would actually have to pull my fingers away from her dress and push me out the door, and then I'd go sit on the back door. And I remember walking all the way from Eastwood School back to my house on Pelham Road and telling my daddy that the door was locked and I couldn't get into school. And he threatened to call the principal. And I said, oh, it was really my finger that hurt. My father was an educator. My grandmother was an educator. She taught for 40-some years. My daddy taught until, he taught for years and years and years, ever since I can remember. Both of his sisters were teachers. And one of them's in her 70s. She substitutes almost every day. She loves it. All of my sisters, except one, the one that's husband is in the military, are teachers. I guess that's the only, and I love children. I love watching people learn. Just to teach somebody something they don't know and to watch them learn, it means a lot. Now, it's real scary because, you know, you are dealing with a person's man. And a lot of times before I go to bed at night, I say, have I missed saying something to somebody that would make them feel bad, or was there something I should have encouraged a child with? You know, it's very serious for me because I know that the children that are sitting in my classroom right now, and I've been conscious of it quite a bit, that somewhere, maybe 40, 50 years from now, a child is sitting in a classroom that's going to be president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Might be in my room. So I have a great responsibility. Another thing that really, made me feel strong about teaching is that my oldest son, he's always been a very good student. He always said, I'll never go to college, Mom. Now, he's the one that's the lawyer. He said, and I would say, why? He said, teachers want you to say what they want you to say. I can't say what I want to say. They always want you to say what they want you to say. And I would say, no, that's not. He said, yes, it is. So I said, you know, if I get to be a teacher, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen because maybe they have an answer, too. You know, somebody needs to listen. So in a way, I think I wanted to get in there to undo some things that maybe I didn't like about school. I didn't like school. I remember having to, I have a block about math. I had stamped a board until I worked a problem, and I didn't like math, and I'd stamp them crying. They would go to recess, I'd be still, and I didn't learn anything. So I think that some of it was because that I wanted to do something different. I want children, and I still think that if you understand a child, and if you reach a child and they feel like you really care, a child will learn. You know, they're going to learn. But the only way they can learn is if they want to. And I think a teacher is supposed to develop a love of learning in a child, and especially elementary teachers. The love for learning. If you create in them a love of learning, there's nothing you can do to stop them from learning. And I felt like that's what I wanted to do. So that, I think that's part of it. And I think teaching is, even though we are underpaid, you know, long hours, I still, you know, think that I've made the best choice.
Sounds like you're very convinced of that.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to have the love for it, yes. Because, yes. I mean, you can tell the teachers to calm it down.
Yeah. You know, yeah, because really, when you think about it, you just learn the same thing all the time, over and over again. You learn different degrees of it. Well, you know, in kindergarten, first grade, you learn the same thing as you learn in college. You learn more of it.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, if you don't have a love for learning, then you're not going to learn. I don't care what. You know, how much anybody threatens you, how much somebody pays you. You have to have that love for learning.
And the teacher that's willing to help you learn, too.
To be patient and to help you to find it.
Definitely. Let's turn the conversation now to the 1960s. We've talked about before in a little preliminary interview that we did how much change went on in the 60s. There were so many things happening. You had JFK being assassinated in 63. Bobby Kennedy, just, I don't remember the exact date, but it was during the same decade.
Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. You had the Civil Rights Movement, you know, really coming into play. And you had the Vietnam War going on at the same time. There were so many things. Tell me the effect that JFK's assassination had on you. You know, I know from pictures I've seen, you know, TV reports, just how the whole country was affected, because this was the president had been shot. And I really can't base that on anything I felt, because I've never been through anything like that. Just give me an overview of how you felt when that happened.
Well, I was working for the church kindergarten, kind of heavily volunteering work, and then the pastor came out, and the children were taking a nap, and he said, "Sit down, I have something to tell you." And I said, "What?" I thought maybe, I didn't know. And he said, "And I'm not sure, you know, how bad this is, but the president's been shot." I said, "I can't believe that." He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, what happened?" So he went on to try to explain that they were in a parade. Because everybody, I just adored Jackie Kennedy. You know, I just thought she was, and we always looked at her, what she had on and all that. And I knew that they were going, and I couldn't wait for that afternoon so I could see, you know, what she had on that day and all that. And I thought, well, he just can't be dead. And the afternoon when I carried the children home, I carried them in our station wagon. I had my little niece with me, and I carried her to my mom's house on Pelham Road. She was living down there. And the flag was flying at half mast, and it seemed like something just grabbed me in my chest. I said, "Oh." So everybody just kind of got to the television, and everybody was so quiet. It was just, we can't believe it. Our friend. For some reason or other, we felt like, even though I did not get to meet him, we felt like it was somebody that was close to us that could help everybody. And he seemed like he cared about all people. And we just couldn't believe it. It was like a dark cloud of everything. It was just shocking. And on television, people were weeping, and some people just passing out, crying. It was just like a slap in the face. And you kept saying, "I'm gonna wake up. This is the truth." And he was just that type of person. He just had such an impact on everything.
Tell me your feelings about when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. I know that was a big blow to the civil rights movement.
Yes,
and
he was.
He was a great man.
Yes,
and
he was. And I did not get to meet him, and I regret that, because he was in Anniston often, and he was at Talladega College, and a couple of my sisters were down there. He was so different. Very quiet, soft-spoken, and they said that if he would come into a room, that there was just a stillness about the room. He never raised his voice, just very easygoing. That he could walk out in a crowd, and the crowd would just kind of get still, even though people were violent. I couldn't believe it. Even though I think most people had a feeling that something might happen to him, because he talked about it. He talked about this feeling he had, and we had listened the night before to his speech, and he had said in his speech that he might not get to see the promised land. And I really believe that he had a feeling, because people who live close to God have feelings about things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he might have had his feeling for me, and he might not have known it was him, and he might have just, but I think that he was prepared for this, and I think he had prepared his family for this. He was often threatened, and I think he lived with this, and his family did live with this all the time. It was just so sad that it happened like that. But you know, the more I think about it, I think that he had come to a point where there wasn't too much more he could do. He had reached the point that he could carry anybody as far as he did. And it was time for a change, you know. What he did was very effective, but it wouldn't be effective nowadays to me. You know, I think there comes a point when we all have a part to play in this world. And when what I'm doing, when that's over, then it's time for somebody else to do something else. I have done my part, and it's time for me you know, a part of my philosophy, and I had to do this last year when I did the senior pageant, is that I hope I can do something in this world and make it a little bit better than it was before I came into this world. And it didn't have to be anything great. I might just make a flower garden that wasn't there. But I think that he realized this, that what we have lost a great...